So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 29. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Grand Moff Tarkin. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hey!
Just a hey?
Yeah, just a hey this week.
Okay. And we also have Dano joining us again.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Hi, Dano. If you want to get involved in our conversation, you guys can get a hold of us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast, leave a comment on our Facebook, send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypable.com. So welcome, everybody. How you all doing today?
Good.
A little tired. Yeah.
Okay. So this is our first episode where we are being sponsored by audible.com.
Woohoo!
So we today, fancy.
I know, right? Yeah. We're growing. We're getting big. No, yeah. So today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. There we go. See, I can't even do the ad right? Or MP3 player. And honestly, this is probably the best way to get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. And what better episode to introduce our Audible sponsorship than having Dano back on? Because I know you bought, was it Bloodlines?
I got Bloodlines because of you guys talking about it. And in fact, my Audible playlist has grown quite a bit thanks to your guys' recommendations. Oops. So perfect. No, that's actually perfect. I love that you're sponsored by Audible now, because that there's so many books. Like, even Tarkin. I put Tarkin on my list last night because I had a token. I was like, I've got an Audible token. I might as well put Tarkin on there. You know, since I know we're going to be talking about him today, I don't have time to go through the whole book, but it'll make listening to it a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. So if you don't have an Audible account already, definitely check out audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. Sign up and let us know what book you actually decide to use your free book on, and maybe we can talk about it on the show here. So thank you. We also have merch for sale on our website, resistanceradio.net, t-shirts and buttons. So feel free to check those out too if you visit our website. But I think it's time for the news.
All right.
Quiet week this week, though.
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's the thing is, it's a lot of, there was a lot of news, but it wasn't really news, if you know what I mean. Well, there was a lot. It was a lot of, all right. There was a lot of news articles, or what I like to call clickbait. There was a lot of like really bad news out there that, you know, we can report on it, but at the same time, I'd rather just talk about the stuff that we can actually have a conversation about. Just because this episode, you know, we're not like releasing this live where the news is like super relevant. So it's like most of you who are listening to this are Star Wars fans probably have some of this news already covered. But this is the stuff that I just really want to talk about, and I think it's going to be really interesting for us to just discuss. You agree? No?
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely. At least this week. So, really cool news is we now have Rogue One toys, books, and more all for sale for pre-order.
Yeah, right? I'm stoked, man. I am so stoked on these new toys.
Well, it makes me really sad because I won't be able to go to any of the, the Force Friday stuff because I'll be recuperating from surgery.
Oh.
So I'm like super bummed. I'm like, guess what? I'm going to pre-order it all through Amazon. I'm going to have packages delivered to my house. I'm going to be like in my pajamas playing with new toys.
So. I say, don't worry. I'll do all the shopping. I'll do double the shopping so that just to make up for it.
Yeah, I wish I could go and do the Force Friday stuff, but where I live in Basingstoke, they probably won't do any of like the stuff that they did for the last Force Friday, which is like open places up at like midnight and let you in and you can go buy all the stuff and whatever, because that'll probably be reserved for like central London, and forget that. I'm not going into central London. Central London on a normal day is complete and utter craziness. It's often, as I like to call it, a circle of hell. So I'm not doing that, but I will probably order stuff online. There are a couple of things in here that I like the look of, And it's just gonna be expensive again.
Yeah, I'm already budgeting. I was looking last night. I was like, okay, how many paychecks until Force Friday? And kind of like figure out what can I get. So, yeah, no, I'm really excited. Yeah. Hopefully the Toys R Us by Me does another midnight release like they did last year.
I wouldn't be surprised. You're in Vegas, so that's a pretty popular place that I wouldn't be surprised if they did something big.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, because, like, last year, they even had, like, 501st members come out, so there was, like, Sand People, Gamorrean Guards, a couple Stormtroopers walking around, so it really, like, got the environment going, and there's maybe, like, 100 people or so lined up at midnight, which is crazy for a toy store, but it's fun. I'm really excited for the end of the month.
That's awesome. So, looking through the list of stuff that's available for pre-order, I'm going to tell you a couple of my favorite things. Like, honestly, the Air Hogs X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter battle drone set, I think
yes. is
just amazing. Like, here's the thing. It's like, we've seen, like, the anime, you know, the short film that they, you know, hooked up a GoPro to the drones and stuff like that. And it's like, you can recreate it yourself. You have these X-Wing and TIE Fighter drones. They're just going to be super fun to fly around. And then also the X-Wing for Death Star one. Like, how cool is that to have a Death Star drone?
I love that the Death Star, like, hovers, and you're supposed to shoot at it with your X-Wing.
I know, thing. Right?
That is so cool.
It's so awesome. So I'm kind of excited about that. I don't know if I'll actually get it just because I can see myself breaking it very easily. So I'm like, is it worth getting and just breaking it? Because I know myself, but who knows? The other thing I'm actually pretty stoked about, and I will admit, beyond all the books and everything that are coming out, I will say I'm excited for the Force Band that works with my Sphero.
You know, DBA funnily Sphero. Enough, I've been eyeing that up as well. I've been kind of like, oh, I don't need, like, the battle-worn BB-8 droid. The Sphero droid, because I've got a normal BB. Yeah.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of can't really justify getting the battle worn one as well, even though it's super cute.
So I'm gonna say my BB-8 is also battle worn, because this is like one of the few Star Wars things that I've actually played with quite a bit since I got it, because I have three cats in the house. My BB-8 is pretty battle worn. He still survives those three cats. The antenna are a little beat up, but he's done a good job.
So is his antenna bent?
It is bent. I fix it regularly. I feel like Rey. I'm channeling my inner Rey as I fix the antenna every time.
So yeah, like, but that Force Band, I want that Force Band, because also it's really cool and it's got the little Rebel logo on it and just everything, and it's crazy because there isn't a lot of, like, Rebel specific merch. You know, you'll get, like, dark side kind of, like, jackets and t-shirts, and it's all Stormtroopers and Darth Vader and all of that. No, give me more stuff with, like, the Rebel logo on it. I want to be a Rebel. I rebel. Like, that's what I want. So the fact that it's, like, it's got the Rebel logo on it, and I'm like, and it's gonna control my BB-8, and I want it. Yeah, I shouldn't want it, but I want it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then the other cool thing is all the new Star Wars books are up for pre-order. I know, right? I believe Ahsoka is coming out first. That's coming out October 11th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the very first one that's coming out. So Ahsoka is coming out October 11th. Then you have a Star Wars Catalyst, which is a Rogue One story that's coming out November 15th.
Oh, I've got that on my Audible list, actually.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
Can't wait for that.
And then you have all the wonderful Rogue One stuff, like the visual guide, the art of Rogue One, the Rogue One novelization, all dropping December 16th. The really cool part is you can pre-order all those through Amazon by clicking on our link on our website, and they'll help support Resistance Radio also. So that's where I pre-ordered mine from.
Oh, yeah, I've got... this is the thing, is I'm going to want to buy all of these books, but the time when they're coming out is the time when my parents basically do the thing where they're like, don't buy yourself anything because you mess up Christmas every time you buy things for yourself around Christmas, and then we run out of things to get for you for Christmas, so don't buy anything. And so this will be the sort of stuff that they would usually buy me for Christmas, so I need to decide whether or not I'm going to buy them for myself and then tell them, or whether I wait a little bit longer.
Well, they can still get you that coloring book.
Oh, man, the coloring book looks so great. But yeah, I want the... Yeah, basically, out of these books, I'm probably going to end up with Catalyst, the movie novelization, The Art of Rogue One, The Visual Guide, and possibly Ahsoka, the Rebel Dossier, and the coloring book. And I may end up with Galactic Maps as well, which... Yeah, I think the only ones I won't end up with is the Rogue One Secret Mission, which is for, like, young readers. Like, it's...
Yeah, like, it's a kid's book. Yeah,
it's a kid's book, and probably not the Ultimate Sticker Collection thing, because, I like stickers, but I don't need a whole sticker book anymore.
I like the sticker books. Those are one of my favorite ones to get. I never use the stickers. I always just like to look at them. And if I want to put them somewhere, I have all these wonderful Star Wars stickers to put somewhere. So, yeah, I'll probably get the sticker book just because I love those sticker books. And Adano just, you know, let me know that there's also new Micro Machines coming out.
Yes, I am so excited. I collect these things. And the other day, Hasbro just released a bunch of images of these new toys that they didn't mention during Toy Fair. They've been a complete secret up until now. And I'm really surprised that they brought Micro Machines back, because the ones from Force Awakens didn't seem to sell very well. And they're all, like, clearanced out at most of the stores around here. So the fact that they're bringing a new Rogue One set is pretty cool. I'm excited for it.
Okay,
but you realize they are going to have a Death Star Micro Machine, which is like the perfect thing to open up. It's like it's the perfect play place for the Micro Machines to be in.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm really excited for this thing, and it like shoots green laser, and it comes with like three different ships or AT-ST, a couple transport ships, and a Jyn Erso Micro Machine, which is really what I'm excited for.
Yeah, that would be the one that I'd get super excited about. That's so crazy that the little sets, the Micro Machine sets, are on clearance for you, because they're not on clearance most places here.
Oh, wow.
Like, they're still pretty much hovering around. If they are, like, discounted, they're only discounted by, like, a small amount. They're still pretty, like... pretty much full price.
Wow, I see them like as low as $5 for like the R2-D2 set and the Stormtrooper set. Those are like $5 at most stores. The larger sets like the Star Destroyer, Millennium Falcon, I've seen as low as 10.
Oh my god, Dano, are you going to like New York Comic Con by any chance? Because I'm going to need you to hook me up, because they're expenses over here. There's one set that has... I think there was the one set that has Poe in it, and then they've got another set that has Luke in it, and I don't know if they came in the same set or not. But they had,
I haven't
like,
seen one, a new one with Luke.
No, I can't remember what one it was. Where I saw it, it was in like a grocery store kind of thing where they had like the kids section with all of the toys, and sometimes you find like really weird but awesome stuff there. So I don't know, I can't remember, but I might need you to hook me up with a couple of sets.
Oh yeah, I might buy some extras just to have them, so.
Yeah, they're still quite expensive here, but they're super cute.
Yeah, unfortunately they don't compare to the old ones.
Yeah.
Well, the old ones were so good, and the new ones are just kind of like missing details. And I don't know if it's because they don't want to give spoilers, or what.
Well, that could just be the photos, you never know.
No, but like even the newer sets, like the R2-D2 one and the Stormtrooper ones that came out last year for Force Awakens, they didn't have location names on them, so it doesn't specifically say that it's Jakku or that it's Starkiller Base, and the features were a little lackluster compared to the old ones from the 90s. So it was kind of like, what's going on here? It seemed like maybe they didn't want to give away too much in the toy packaging, or even in like the toys in general, so they kind of kept it a little spoiler-free.
Yeah, I don't want to be surprised with that, and at least with Episode 7, they're super, like, paranoid about, you know,
oh, yeah,
and stuff like that, so the toys...
I mean...
At least with Rogue One, we know what happens afterwards.
Yeah, there's still... with Rogue One, like, here's the thing, is with Rogue One, obviously we don't really know anything about the film, but we know what happens in the end.
Yeah.
Like, we know what it leads to. We know a little bit more about before, we know a little bit after. We don't know about what actually happens, but we know a little bit more than we did with, you know, Force Awakens going into it. So it's definitely something where, you know, having the Death Star and titling it Death Star versus, like, you know, they didn't call it Starkiller Base before. You know, it's one of those things where I don't think they're worried about spoiling, you know, certain things.
Yeah.
Moving on, we have a brand new Rebels trailer. It's a 30-second trailer for Disney XD called Enter Thrawn. Did you guys get a chance to watch this?
Yep.
Yep.
What you guys think?
Why is it not here yet? Give me Rebels.
I know.
soon.
It's a couple weeks.
I will say, this trailer was really interesting art-wise. It did a lot of, like, you know, fade in, fade out, and they did a lot of freeze frames. Like, if you watch it, like, every character they highlighted ended up, you know, action, and they froze, and, you know, and kind of fade out to a different shot. It was pretty cool. Like, it was a very different style for a trailer than what I've seen with at least the Rebels artwork lately. So, just as a edited trailer, I liked it in general. But, of course, the content made it just, like, that much cooler, because, you know, it's all about Thrawn coming to thwart the Rebels, so.
It's going to be a dark season, man. It's going to be so dark. Really, I love it.
Oh, man. It's the same thing I saw happening with Clone Wars. Like, when Rebels started out, it was all happy, cheery. You have Ezra on Lothal. He's this kid with Aladdin hair, and it's a kid's show, and it's like they're dealing with things that are not really that deep, and it's not, you know, too whatever. Same thing happened in Clone Wars. By season two, you're dealing with some really interesting stuff, and it's written for its audience, and I love it. Like, it's evolved so much into something that Star Wars fans at any age is just beyond enjoy. So I'm beyond ecstatic for season three coming.
Yeah.
Me too. And I mean, it makes more sense that it's moving to a darker place. I mean, it's playing with much darker themes, especially considering what timeline-wise, what it's moving towards. Like, it is almost going to be running at some point parallel to the events of Rogue One. So it makes a lot more sense that as they're becoming more entrenched in this war, that it's going to get darker because, you know, war is never going to be a pretty happy thing.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's really interesting, too, when you think about, like, the show Rebels, like, you know, you see this when they talk about, you know, Saw Gerrera. Like, you know, he's considered a terrorist. But it's like there's that line between terrorist and freedom fighter, you know, from a certain point of view, if you will. And literally, we're following a band of freedom fighters, you know, rebels. But you can see from the other side, like, you see Kallus and them call them, you know, terrorists and stuff like that, you know, the insurgents and stuff. So it's really kind of, it's definitely going to go to a darker place because it's leading up to, you know, where Rogue One is going to take us, which is supposed to be significantly darker. So I'm really excited for it.
Same.
All right.
Oh, Rebels.
I know, right? It's coming up soon, right? We'll definitely have to talk about it when it comes up. And the last bit of news that I want to talk about today is actually something I'm really excited for. The original Star Wars soundtrack will be available again on vinyl. And not just any vinyl. This vinyl is Picture Disc Press vinyl. And man, do they look freaking cool. Like, did you guys get a chance to look at this?
Oh, yeah.
I have, yes.
Yeah, they look. I'm looking at them now. They look awesome. Dude, Death Star seriously. And the trench battle, and we got Han, and it looks so good. Yeah, it looks really cool.
So it's on two records. Each side is pressed a different image. So one side is the Death Star and Vader. The other side is the Death Star battle and Han and Chewie. Kind of standard, you know, images that you'd be very, you know, iconic, if you will. The Vader one's the only one that I haven't seen before, which is essentially like a space print with like a silhouette of Vader in space. But all the other ones you've kind of seen before. You know, it's the Death Star, the space battle. I'm assuming that's Ralph McQuarrie's artwork. I can't tell from the small pictures they have there, but it's very reminiscent of stuff I've seen in the books. And then it's the Han and Chewie, Han firing the blaster, you know, Harrison Ford and Chewbacca picture. They're just great. So I'm super excited to get these. The downside to it is I don't know if I'll be listening to them on vinyl or if I'll go ahead and frame them and put them up on the wall because they look like great pieces of art to have.
That Death Star would look awesome on any wall.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
The lighting on it looks so good. Like,
And yeah, the best part would be is people like would then go up to like, oh, what is that? Oh, that's a record. Yeah, that's the soundtrack to it. Like, that would just be, that's such a cool like talking point for it. So, yeah, so we now have some new ones coming out. It doesn't say the date when they're coming out, but You can definitely go ahead and check them out.
September 30th.
September 30th, yeah.
So, there it is. Sorry, I saw it at the same time. September 30th. Yeah. And they're $35, so...
Which isn't that bad, honestly.
No, like, for 35. Two of them?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Now, considering, like, most vinyls are more expensive than the CDs and stuff, and, you know, it's the soundtrack, you know, the original trilogy soundtrack, which is normally, like, a $20 soundtrack if you buy it on CD. So, it's definitely not a bad price.
Does anyone buy CDs anymore?
You know what? I've gotten to the point where I'm not even buying books anymore. I'm doing everything on Kindle and digital music, which is kind of bad since I loved physical books, but it's like, I don't need to clutter in my house anymore. I don't know. Dan, did you buy a CD recently at all?
It's been years. Literally years.
I can't remember the last time I bought a CD. You know, it might have been when Beauty and the Beast had its 20th anniversary, and they re-released the soundtrack for Beauty and the Beast. I bought the CD version of that. I remember around the 20th anniversary, because I have a Beauty and the Beast problem. I basically buy any version of Beauty and the Beast that they release or re-release or release again, then I end up buying it. I've even bought the 25th anniversary Blu-ray, but I can't play it because it's region locked.
Oh, wow.
That's but boring. I bought it anyway because...
It's Beauty and the Beast.
Because I bought it anyway. The last, the 20th anniversary Blu-ray and DVD release, I bought the Blu-ray set and the DVD set, even though they both were exactly the same thing, just because there was a slight variation in, like, the artwork on the front.
Well, that's good to know. I didn't know that about you, Danya.
Yeah, I have a slight Beauty and the Beast
Speaking of CDs,
situation.
I actually looked up. I looked up because I know what was the last album I bought on disc on CD. And Dana would appreciate this. It was a band from California called RX Bandits. Their last album called Gemini Her Majesty, which was released July 22nd, 2014. That was the last CD I bought on that day. So I haven't bought a CD since 2014. Everything else has been digital, Spotify, Apple Music, something like that.
Yeah, I always go for the vinyls with the digital version packed in. That's
yeah. Well, this one I bought. You know, I pre-ordered. I got the vinyl, the CD, the T-shirt. You know, went all out. I don't see them anymore because I'm in Kentucky instead of LA. So, but yes, July 2014 was the last time I bought a CD. So yeah, so buy it on vinyl because the new ones look absolutely amazing for the Star Wars soundtrack. All right. Any other news, Donnie? Anything that you picked up or you want to talk about before we head into our spotlight topic?
No, not particularly.
All right. So this week's spotlight topic is Grand Moff Wilhuff Tarkin.
Ooh.
Look at that name. Wilhuff. Wilhuff.
I don't know if his name is more impressive or if...
I know who you're going to say. Hux's name, right?
Hux's name? Like Armitage Hux.
Armitage Hux.
Like, I don't know if that's... If Tarkin's name is more impressive or Hux's name is more impressive.
So here's the thing. I'll be completely honest, and Daniel even raised this. I want to talk about Tarkin that we know through canon. There, obviously, Tarkin, we see him in the EU, but that's not around anymore in Legends. So we're gonna focus on Tarkin through canon and what he kind of did through the whole thing. And we'll even talk a little bit about the Tarkin novel, which I asked Danya before we started recording how much I love the novel. Like, it really shed light. Like, honestly, I didn't like Tarkin as a character. And I still kind of don't like Tarkin as a character. But the novel makes me really like him. So I'm conflicted when it comes to Grand Moff Tarkin. What about you, Danya?
I mean, I quite like Tarkin, honestly. I always felt like in the movies we never really got enough of him for my liking. Like, I thought that there was a lot more that they could explore with the character that they never really did, but then it was a limitation of what they could and couldn't do within the scope of the films. But, like, the novel and some of the other, like, bits of the Star Wars universe, like, expanded on him in ways that I'd been hoping for, and we got a lot more of him, and I started to appreciate him more as a a character when we got all of that, like, you know, Clone Wars series, novels, just
see, I appreciate him as a character, but I will tell you, seeing Tarkin in Clone Wars, like, even then, I was like, I just don't like Tarkin. Like,
I mean, well, he's I easy don't not think to like. You're particularly supposed to like him.
But that's my point. Like, well, that's the thing. It's like the Tarkin novel makes me like him. Like, it makes me, like, appreciate where he came from and understand, like, his point of view on things. Which scares me, because then I realize, like, this is the guy that had no problem destroying an entire planet. You know? So I'm like, wait, why am I agreeing with him on some things? So, yeah. So it's definitely a conflicted character. At least it is for me. So let's talk a little about Tarkin. When we first see him in A New Hope. Right, that's when we're introduced to him. That's when the entire world was introduced to Tarkin in 1977. But let's go back a little bit further. Let's talk about him in Clone Wars. That's the first time we're introduced chronologically, if you will. Right?
Yep.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So, in Clone Wars, we see Tarkin in a couple different episodes, a couple different story arcs. But the very first time, he is a commander at the time. So, he's not Grand Moff or an admiral or anything. He's just, you know, commander. And he was captured alongside Jedi Master Evan Peel at the Battle of Morkana. Now, if you guys do you remember who Evan Peel was? He was the kind of big ear Jedi Master on the Jedi Council.
Yeah, the scar on his eye, right?
Yeah, scar on his eye. Yeah. And they butt heads the entire episode, and you know everything. Like, they just don't see eye to eye. And then, of course, you know, they're rescued by the Jedi. But really, what it comes down to is like the interaction between Tarkin and the other characters that we know and love, like Ahsoka and even Anakin, which is interesting because Anakin and Tarkin have this weird mutual respect for each other, and you see it bleed all the way through when Anakin becomes Vader. And Tarkin actually, Tarkin knows Anakin is Vader. Like, he has a strong suspicion. He's that smart. He knows it. But what it comes down to is, like, he's annoyed by, you know, Ahsoka. Like, he doesn't trust Ahsoka being this young person that she is. And I get that. Like, I get that Tarkin doesn't trust a young Padawan to help lead and stuff. Even Rex tries to persuade Tarkin, but he just doesn't agree to it. Like, he's just not open to the idea of someone who's young who can actually help save them. What do you guys think of that? Like, do you agree with him that on first meeting of someone like Ahsoka, who is young, that she couldn't lead them at all?
I mean, we have the unique position as the audience to already have faith in Ahsoka. So we have preconceived notions of like what Ahsoka is capable of at that point. So we're always going to be more inclined to like lean towards being like, oh, it's so unreasonable, like that he doesn't have faith in Ahsoka. She's so capable and blah, 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 blah. But you know, if you think about it and you take yourself out of the situation, it makes a lot of sense that you're presented with someone who isn't a full Jedi, who is a Padawan, who's basically in a position of quite significant responsibility without, in their eyes, a proven track record. So it makes a lot of sense for him not to have faith in Ahsoka, even though these other people are like trying to persuade him that he should. So while I may not necessarily agree with him, I understand where he's coming from, because when you remove yourself from like that unique position that you have as the audience, you know, he doesn't know what we know. So, you know, in isolation, his reactions to Ahsoka make a lot of sense.
I'll buy that, but what do you think, and this is where I kind of baited you, because I knew you were going to go that route. What do you think that he didn't like, he just kind of dismissed Rex's thoughts on Ahsoka because he was a clone?
I mean, it's...
We saw that through the Clone Wars series, that there was plenty of people who treated the clones like the droids that we saw in, you know, the Separatist Army. They were just clones. They weren't really human, but obviously we got to know them that way, and Anakin Skywalker saw them that way, and we see them even in Rebels that way. You know, Rex is still around, so what do you think of him just saying, you're just a clone? You know, like, he doesn't take his thoughts into consideration because he is a clone. That's the reason why.
I mean, there's built-in prejudices with everything, even in real life. Like, there are certain people who will dismiss certain groups of other people based on, like, the color of their skin, or their gender, or their age, or their sexuality. So, it doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with Tarkin, but I can fully understand why he would react like that, because he has built-in prejudices. And so it makes him more fleshed out as a character and an interesting counterpoint to where we stand as an audience, but also where the characters that we're supposed to root for and believe as our heroes stand as well, because the show very much leads us in the direction of, like, what we should be thinking about clones, but it does set up Tarkin as a more rounded out villain, and it does ground it a lot in, like, real life prejudices as well, because, you know, it happens that, you know, whole groups of people are excluded based on one fact about them, and it's irrational and based on hearsay and preconceived notions of who they are, and, you know, lies and kind of facts that are kind of not actually facts at all. They're kind of made up. But, you know, it makes sense that Tarkin is kind of almost like that figure, because we're not supposed to really root for him, but we need to have something about him that we can recognize from other people that we would necessarily oppose.
I'll agree with that. And I'll say, I think that's actually why I have such a unsettled taste in my mouth for him. Like, I don't, like I said, I don't like him, but I like him at the same time. Because even in Clone Wars, he was on the same side as our heroes that we're rooting for and we're excited to see. And, you know, we're just excited that it's Star Wars and we have heroes to root for. But at the same time, you know who he is and you know what he becomes and you know what he does. And that's where the Tarkin novel, which is so good, kind of lets you see his perspective of everything. And how you're like, okay, I can see how that turns him into what he became. So yeah, I'll agree with you. Dano, any thoughts on that?
No, I agree completely. I feel like they wrote him that way in Clone Wars, that we already knew him. We already know he's a bad guy. So they kind of wrote him with those little things, those little, you know, his disdain towards clones or treating them like second-class citizens. Just, there's those little things to make it kind of reinforce the fact that he is a bad guy. He's not, you know, he's not on the good side. We're not supposed to technically root for him. So, I think it's totally understandable that he would be like that he would dismiss the clones' advice.
Yeah. So in the same episode, though, something interesting happened, at least that I took note of, was Tarkin and Anakin did come to an understanding where Tarkin admitted he actually had come to trust Anakin, but not the rest of the Jedi Order, and admitted that the Order's Jedi Code prevented them from ending the Clone War. Their tactics were ineffective. Their code kept them from going far enough to really achieve victory at times. And the interesting part was Anakin, who is a Jedi Master, you know, he hasn't got his seat on the council yet. That happens to Revenge of the Sith. But Anakin actually agrees with Tarkin. You know, and it's like, that to me, like, it makes sense, Anakin's personality. And you see this even in Revenge of the Sith when Anakin and Padme discuss, you know, what side, you know, Padme has second questions. Is she on the right side? Has the Republic become what they were trying to stop originally? And the Separatists actually have it right. So it's, and obviously Anakin, you know, says never, and he's, you know, asks about, you know, goes with, you know, Palpatine versus the, you know, Republic as a whole. So what do you guys think about that? Like, Anakin and Tarkin having this mutual kind of understanding and even trust that has formed kind of early on, you know, this is earlier on in the Clone Wars.
I just think it's clever foreshadowing. You know, they're just, yeah. they wrote it that way to be like, oh, we know they end up working together because of what happens in A New Hope. So I think they kind of made that, they purposefully put that moment in there just to give you that little hint of like, hey, this is kind of where the seed was planted, where they're going to kind of get along and work together.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think it was a very interesting way of working backwards, because it's, the whole thing is like, we know where they end up, but we need to understand how they get to that point. And it was just a really subtle, really clever way of working backwards with that. I actually really like that they had that connection, and that Tarkin and Anakin actually had an understanding with each other, and Anakin has Tarkin's trust, because it kind of opens it up to, like, wonder what the relationship between them is even more, from, like, the point where Anakin becomes Darth Vader all the way through to A New Hope. Like, I would love to see a lot more of that, because yeah, I'm just absolutely fascinated with how they would have worked together and clashed, or maybe understood each other, and, like, I just think it's such a fascinating relationship that has a lot more to explore in it.
I agree with you. In fact, so much so that I think when the Tarkin novel ended, I kind of wanted more. Like, I wanted a sequel to it. But yeah, it's interesting, because we'll talk about this a little bit further when we get towards the Tarkin novel. But we know that the identity of Darth Vader is not widely known. And the fact that Tarkin doesn't know, but does know, and it's apparent, you know, I'm trying to avoid spoilers for those who haven't read the Tarkin novel. There's a conversation about how he believes Anakin has become Darth Vader, who he is. And we see it, you know, kind of the relationship between them in the Tarkin novel. We see it in Rebels. We see it in a couple different places, how there's definitely some type of mutual respect. And, you know, this is the beginning of it right here in Clone Wars, the series. But moving on into later episodes of Clone Wars, we see Tarkin again. It's when Ahsoka Tano is on trial for murder, which we know ended Ahsoka being part of the Jedi Order. And it was Tarkin who led the prosecution against him. Padme Amidala was her defense. And it was Tarkin who actually got ahead and convinced the Jedi Council to expel her from the Order so she could be tried among the Republic's court system, because they said he was convinced that they would be too biased because she was a member of their Order. What do you guys think about this? Like, someone who we talked about earlier kind of just dispelled the thoughts of a clone, now it says can't see that they can even have a objective opinion or a fair ruling for someone. And look for actual evidence, because there was literally no evidence other than she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he was convinced to bring down the full power of the court system, which would have been her death. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think he didn't like her from the get-go. He just had bad feelings towards her from the very beginning, as we talked about a little while ago. But I think that shows us that's how Tarkin is. He has that blind, not justice, but, you know, he has that, just doesn't matter if he has enough proof, it's good enough. He's all fire and brimstone. Same way he was with Alderaan. He's like, you know what? I know that's not the right base, but it'll be enough to send a message. So just do it. Let's blow up the whole planet. This is kind of a smaller version, really smaller version of that happening, where he's like, you know what? She was in the wrong. We have enough, just a small, enough evidence to do something. So let's just kill her.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, but again, you know, it just sets him up as a really good antagonist, because it's almost being like having her dealt with within the order that basically is supposed to control her. Like, he has preconceived notions about what the Jedi Council does and is and believes. And whether that's through his own experiences with them, or whether that's through things he's heard, or so on and so forth, he doesn't believe that they would give her, like, or they would be biased when it came to whatever would happen with Ahsoka. So he doesn't believe that whatever trial or investigation would have happened would have been unbiased. And so, I don't know, it's understandable in a way that, you know, why would he accept the Jedi Council or the Jedi Order investigating Ahsoka themselves? Like, why would he? Why would we expect him as well to believe that the Jedi wouldn't be biased?
Yeah, I understand that. But, you know, if the Jedi's were, you know, to take Obi-Wan's quote, you know, Guardians of Peace and Justice for 1,000 generations. You know, if they've been around this long, obviously, and you see this in a lot of things, like even in Phantom Menace, like, you're a Jedi. You have one of their laser swords. They can't be killed. Like, there's these tall stories about these characters, these morally, you know, morally upright citizens, if you will. And, you know, they're not here to fight a war, but they do kind of become that. We talked about the slippery slope Mace Windu had to take when he worked with the Hutts in, you know, last week's episode. So, you know, and even Tarkin admitted that, you know, the Jedi Order, their, you know, their belief, their code prevented them from going as far as he felt they needed to go. You know, so why would he believe that they wouldn't be fair then? Because obviously their Jedi code requires them to be.
But it's almost like that protect one of your own kind of thing. Like, they would probably be like, no, it's impossible. She couldn't do it.
Okay. I'll buy that. The biggest thing is, you know, this is interesting where you see Clone Wars get into like more of a courtroom trial case where you have Tarkin on one side and Padme Amidala on the other side. And Padme says, if Ahsoka really was guilty, would she have made the evidence against her so obvious? You know, there was evidence being stacked up against Ahsoka really high, but it was just so obvious that it's like, if she did it, she was either the worst criminal in the world or someone framed her for it. And in the end, Anakin Skywalker came in with the Jedi Temple guards with the true culprit of the crime, which was another Padawan, Barriss Offee. So, you know, we don't know what the actual, you know, verdict would have been from Chancellor Palpatine, whether Ahsoka was supposed to be killed or not, but we do have the full culprit there. And actually, at that point, because of Tarkin pushing the Jedi Order, almost, you know, pigeonholing them to actually expel her from the Order so that she can be tried through them, she didn't want to rejoin because she had felt betrayed, which I totally get her position on that. You guys agree, or?
Oh, yeah. I loved that she didn't want to go back. That made me love Ahsoka so much more, that she didn't blindly just go back and be like, well, it's what I know, so I'm going to go back. She took off. She went off on her own, and she made, like, one of the best comebacks ever. So, no, yeah. I love that about her.
Agreed, completely. Like, I love that Ahsoka is kind of, like, not disillusioned with the Jedi Order, but kind of like it opens her eyes that it's not the order that she thought it was. So I really, really do and always have had a large amount of respect for Ahsoka for being able to walk away at that point, because it's seeing them for what they are, and that she doesn't really align herself with their kind of ideals anymore. I think it's great that she could walk away at that point and be like, no, this isn't right. This isn't what I wanted. This isn't the order that I wanted to follow. And it's just, yeah, it's interesting that Tarkin's actions are the catalyst for that.
Yeah.
I think anyway, but...
I'll agree. And it's interesting because every time I saw that, when I think of that scene, I'm always reminded of Count Dooku, actually, when he tells Obi-Wan when he's captured in Attack of the Clones, what if I told you that the, you know, council is led by the Sith Lord that was the master of the one who killed, you know, your master, Qui-Gon Jinn? And, like, all these things where it's like, at that turn, you know, like, you start to see that maybe even though Count Dooku is twisted, he may have seen something more. You know, like, maybe they were doomed from the get-go. As soon as, you know, Palpatine got his way and became Supreme Chancellor and called for emergency power. And it's just like, couldn't someone have done anything to change it? And, you know, I think we talked about how Qui-Gon Jinn could have stopped it all, maybe, if he was still around. Because, you know, he had such a better rooting in the, you know, living force versus, like, looking forward to the future and stuff where they didn't see what was going to come. But it's interesting that she walked away, and it just fits into everything that we know about the Jedi Order and that failure that turned Anakin Skywalker into Vader. So I'm glad that Tarkin played a role into that, because it just builds into his character that we know more and more. Moving on to him in the Tarkin novel. First of all, I want to say I love this book. Donnie, I know you know I said we absolutely love it. Do you want to give us a quick synopsis or overview of what you loved about it?
Oh, man, It was just really, really interesting because it just digs more into the mythos a lot. And it was really good that this was like, it was one of the, was it the first novel that we got?
It was the second novel.
Yeah, I was thinking it was one of the first, I remember it being one of the first ones that I picked up in like this, in the new canon. So I just really liked that it dug into two characters that I'd always been fascinated with learning more about, like their interactions, which was Tarkin and Vader, because we obviously got a lot of Tarkin and Anakin, but the very small amounts of Tarkin and Vader that we got in like A New Hope was, it was brief, but it was just that little tease that you knew that there was a lot more going on there. And it was just really interesting that even as we've got more books now, like Bloodlines and so on, we know that like Vader's sort of identity isn't known. It isn't common knowledge. But this was the first book that really played into that idea that people don't really know who Vader is. And it was just, it was so interesting just to have the spotlight on these two. Like, I'm trying to do this without giving anything away at the same time.
Yeah, we'll, because we'll talk, I think, a little bit about it, but without getting too much. I agree with you 100%. And just to give you a little bit idea, the only book that came out before Tarkin, part of the new canon, was A New Dawn, which was the canon book, How You Met Hera and everything, which is also a good book if you like Star Wars Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's talk a little about Tarkin novel. So in the Tarkin novel, without going into too much detail, you learn about how Tarkin grew up, where he grew up, and kind of what he had to overcome to become who he actually was. And it's interesting because it's the Emperor that tells Vader to ask Tarkin of, you know, what he had to accomplish. Because Vader at this time still doesn't have a respect for Tarkin. Maybe he had it when he was Anakin Skywalker, but he just doesn't have it completely, a respect. They kind of butt heads, if you will. And I think it's because maybe they're direct rivals to each other. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, so they're both friends. Obviously, Anakin Skywalker and Tarkin were both friends with Palpatine while Anakin was still Anakin. But as Vader and Tarkin, you know, they don't. There's not a clear chain of command, really. You know, Tarkin is an admiral or a moff or whatever role he is at the time. You know, Vader is kind of outside of the whole structure in general. So there's this definitely rivalry between them. But obviously, Palpatine, being the master puppeteer, if you will, he knows that by simply talking to, you know, Tarkin, Vader will come to have this respect. And sure enough, we learn all about this backstory of Tarkin, which, because of that backstory and kind of where he came from and how he grew up and stuff like that, it made me respect Tarkin more. And this is where I said my conflict for Tarkin is Tarkin from the novel to seeing Tarkin in A New Hope. Like, I like Tarkin, but I hate his character. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he's a character that you love to hate. And any good antagonist or villain should inspire that in you. You should have this well-rounded look at them that makes you understand why they do the things that they do, where they're coming from, what their ideals are, because the best villains, it comes across that they are the heroes of their own story. What they are doing is on the side of, it's right. To them, it's, they have these ideals and these ideas, and they have, as much as the heroes that we're meant to root for, this, you know, not necessarily code of conduct, but like goals that, and ideals that they play into and they follow really closely. And we may not agree with those, but we need to understand them to see where they're coming from. And that makes the characters compelling and interesting and really, really great. So Tarkin is kind of one of those where I'm like super, super interested in him. I don't agree with like anything that he does pretty much or what he believes in, but I understand him, and I understand where he's coming from, and I can see why he thinks that what he's doing is right. that's so important in a villain or an antagonist, because if you don't understand why they're doing what they're doing, then your villain or your antagonist fails. And I think Star Wars is actually very, very good when it comes to antagonists a lot of the time, because they, especially in like the extra material where they get to dig into them a little bit more, like where they came from, where they're going, what they believe, like they have some really compelling antagonists. And I feel like with Thrawn as well, we're going to see that a lot more in the new season of Rebels. Like, they are very successful. It's where Marvel fail and Star Wars kind of succeed, because Marvel's villains are never, they're always kind of cookie cutter villains. They all seem to have like the same story beats, but at least you have really nuanced kind of ideals coming from some of the villains in Star Wars, and Tarkin's one of them. And I don't think you're necessarily supposed to like him in the same way that you like the heroes, but you like him in the respect that he's a well-rounded character that's very interesting in where he's coming from as an antagonist. But that doesn't mean you have to like him in the same way that you like Luke or Han or Leia or any of our heroes. So.
I agree. So without spilling too much stuff from the Tarkin novel, the really cool part you mentioned Thrawn coming out. Tarkin, I see, is a lot like Thrawn. They both are very tactical, very smart in the way they command and the way they do different things. Very specific in what they do. So just to give you an idea of how Vader and him have this mutual respect, Tarkin, in the book, you actually get to see internal monologue of the character Tarkin. And he said, just some of the mannerisms that Vader does, he's like, I wonder if this is actually Anakin Skywalker. And as he looks through the entire novel, he comes to the conclusion that he is, but he'll never tell Vader that he knows who he is out of mutual respect, because he respects Anakin Skywalker, respects Vader, and he knows that Vader respects him because they now understand where they came from, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes okay. A lot of sense.
I'm trying not to like spoil the book for anybody. Yeah, but still discuss it.
The book is well worth checking out and looking at for yourself. Like, it's worth experiencing start to finish without having too much spoiled from it. So it's kind of hard to really dig into it, but know that it will. If you weren't really convinced on Tarkin before, you don't really have much of an understanding of him as a character, then read the novel, because it will definitely help you there, much in the same way I think that it helped Mikey with appreciating him more as a character.
Yeah, and just to give you guys another perspective, the author of the Tarkin book is James Luceno, same guy who wrote the Plagueis book, which we've talked about I don't know how many times here. And he's also the author who's going to be writing Star Wars Catalyst, the new Rogue One book. So I am really excited for Catalyst too, because I've loved every single book he's written that is in the Star Wars universe. So yeah. It's definitely going to be good. But moving on from Tarkin, moving on from Tarkin book, not Tarkin the character. Man, that's interesting. we want to talk a little about Tarkin and Rebels. And I try to get this all organized chronologically to make sense. Because at Rebels, we know, you know, we have Tarkin. He's, you know, a little bit older, because it's like almost time to A New Hope. But we see Tarkin in Star Wars Rebels at the end of Season 1 to deal with the Rebels of the Thal, because they've been, you know, the Inquisitor's been failing, Kallus has been failing. And he, because we know Tarkin has this mutual respect for Vader, and they have this, I guess, a relationship, if you will, some type of relationship. This is when Vader shows up in Star Wars Rebels, is when Tarkin shows up. He brings him along to deal with the rebel insurgents on Lothal. What do you guys think about Tarkin in Rebels and just becoming such a, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, he killed the chancellor, the governor of Lothal because of his failings. Vader did it, but it may have been on Tarkin's orders.
I mean, I really like him in Rebels. I also think it's very telling that at this point he's the one who brings Vader in as well, and that Vader pretty much comes along willingly. Like, it just reinforces that respect that they have for each other, in that Tarkin believes that, you know, Vader is going to be able to succeed where clearly other people have failed within the Empire, and failed pretty massively. So I feel like at the end of season one of Rebels, Tarkin is in the position that Thrawn is going to be in pretty much when we are going into season three. Because it's very obvious that what they're going to be doing with Thrawn is like, well, things aren't going the way that they want to, so they're bringing him in as a bit of a fixer sort of thing. Like, so it's interesting that, like, when things aren't, like, really going the right way, they bring in these huge, formidable people that have a very, very kind of strategic mind. They're smarter. They're not really working on, like, instinct and stuff like that. They're always thinking ahead, kind of thing. And I really like that Tarkin takes up that position in season one, and also brings Vader in with him. Like, I just think it was a clever character to use as well, because he's someone that we're familiar with.
Yeah, I'll agree. Dano, any thoughts on seeing Tarkin and Vader in Rogue One and Star Wars Rebels, not Rogue One?
I like seeing him in Rebels. It was kind of, and I don't want to get too far ahead because it's something like from New Hope, but it kind of seems like Tarkin is the evil neighbor up the street and Vader is the rabid dog that he tells go sick him. You know, it kind of establishes that that's their relationship a little bit.
And I'll agree with you, and it's almost like the relationship was not necessarily created by Tarkin, but kind of how the Emperor kind of said, like, you know, well, think about it. Like, the Emperor has Vader as his hand, if you will. Like, he's the one who enforces the Emperor's will. He's not part of the Empire's chain of command. You have Grand Moff Tarkin, you have other admirals, they all, you know, discuss things, they work, and Vader's this presence who's, I guess he will work with Tarkin, but if, you know, the Emperor had said, kill Tarkin, I'm sure Vader would do it in a heartbeat without hesitating at all. So he's definitely this kind of almost a rabid dog type character. So yeah, you know, when he brought him on, it's like, hey, it's the failings of you that have brought me out here away from what I should be doing, which we all know he should be, you know, overseeing the final building of the Death Star. So, you know, cause we see that at the end of Revenge of the Sith, you know, that the Death Star is just being started to be built. So at this point, you know, it's built a little bit more, you know, maybe the first 25, 50 levels are completed, maybe more than that, and you know, at least the Death Star bar is open, so he should be there, you know, observing it. And, you know, I don't know, those are really bad jokes, but you know, he should at least be there, you know, observing. But instead, he has to deal with this Outer Rim, you know, insurgents of rebels, and of course, he brings Vader to pick up where the Inquisitor has failed. So definitely, it's interesting to see that their relationship is just getting stronger and stronger with the more stuff that they kind of throw together with the two, at least every time Tarkin shows up. Moving on beyond that, though, is, you know, A New Hope. And we all know Tarkin is the one who interrogated Princess Leia when she was brought on board. You know, that's who Vader brought Leia to him. You know, governor. See, and this is where I'm confused. He's a governor because he, you know, governs certain, you know, star system. But he's also Grand Moff Tarkin, and Leia calls him governor. Do you know exactly what his real title is, or does he have all of them? And they just depends on how people want to address him. Tanya.
I would probably lean towards they are all titles that he's held at one point or another. And it's based on what people are most familiar with. So, with Leia, the fact that she uses that title is because that's probably how she's interacted with him before, as, I guess as a political figure, almost.
I'll take that.
You know, I guess it varies based on positions that the characters hold in respect to each other and how they've come into contact with each other before is how I kind of see it with them using titles.
I'll agree. It's the same thing with, like, Vader. You know, you have Darth as a title. You know, Darth Vader is a title. But then you also have people refer to him as Lord. So it's like, well, is he Lord Darth Vader? Or is he just Darth Vader? Is the Lord just a sign of respect? You know, it's not really explained in it. And it's not following a specific chain of command. And my question almost would be, was he really a governor until the middle of A New Hope, when he tells everyone that the Emperor has disbanded the Imperial Senate and he's no longer a governor anymore, but just simply Grand Moff Tarkin? No? Yeah?
Yeah, that could be it. I mean, because that's what it seems like. Like, the Grand Moff title is for these overseers of these huge sectors of systems. So that might be a replacement title. Since there's no longer a Senate, that would make perfect sense.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
You guys can see I spent a lot of time thinking about this with Tarkin. I do that every time. But yeah, so, and it's interesting because, again, you see his relationship with Anakin or Vader, where he actually, you know, during the discussion of the Death Star, we all remember it, where Vader does the famous force choke of Admiral Mahdi. You know, it's, yeah, everyone's done that before. You put your fingers together and you pretend you're choking someone. That's the signature Vader choke. And it's Tarkin that says, "Vader, release him." And, you know, Vader simply says, "As you wish." So what do you guys think about that relationship there? At that point, like, it's like, there's such, like, there's Dano's, like, description. Like, there's the dog, you know, there's the rabid dog, and he's the owner of it. Like,
yeah, he's the evil owner.
I don't know. How familiar are you guys with The Princess Bride?
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I took it there, apparently. People who have seen or are familiar with The Princess Bride will get the joke that I've just made. But if not, I'll leave you in the dark, because no one wants to be thinking about that, probably.
Yeah. So anyway, so it's, you know, from here we have obviously Vader and them relationship, but think about his arrogance. So he's also the person who destroyed the Death Star, but during this attack on the Death Star by the Rebel Alliance, you know, he's brought information that they've analyzed their attack and there is a threat. Should we evacuate? And he absolutely refuses to evacuate in his moment of triumph, which, you know, you get that picture of, you know, of Tarkin, final moments as the Death Star is about to fire, and then, you know, it just, like, blows up. So what do you guys think about his arrogance here? Obviously, we've seen it in where he wouldn't believe in Ahsoka. He ignored the clones. I guess he's clonist. You know, as you kind of move through it, now he's like, there is something. Like, if he is as master, you know, as skillful, masterful, you know, tactical as he is, would he not think about, well, maybe he should evacuate so at least he still survives? Or do you think he did the right thing and just staying aboard because he perceived zero threat?
He let his pride get the best of him. And it's a recurring thing that he seems to keep doing, whether he's wrong or right. Once he hits that moment of, no, I'm too proud to let this go, he sticks with it. And so it ended up getting him killed.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Like, he gets to the point where it's like, he's so, I guess arrogant is the right word, but he's also confident in what they've got and the fact that they cannot lose, pretty much. That it basically is his downfall in the end, is his overconfidence, I guess, or his belief. Like, his wholehearted belief in, like, the Empire and their might and what they can achieve. Like, he doesn't believe that this little ragtag group of rebels can do anything against their might.
And I wonder how much of that was pressure of the job. Because as someone with the title of Grand Moff, if you don't believe it, how is everyone else underneath you supposed to believe it?
That's true. But then, like, look at like Force Awakens, and you've got Hux, and then people are just like, they're kind of like, we're done for. Even Hux is like peaced out, and everyone's like, oh, maybe we should all just leave. That's actually that would be really interesting to like look at parallels between Hux and Tarkin, actually, as people respectively who are essentially leading these huge bases of enormous power. Like, I think those are two characters I think it would be interesting to look at the parallels between them.
It would be interesting. I do want to bring up one thing I didn't put in the docs here, so I'm going to throw this both at you guys blind.
Okay.
Dano, have you had a chance to listen to Lost Stars?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
Okay. But I know some of our fans have, because we've had tweets about it and everything. So, in Lost Stars, Tarkin also makes an appearance. And I kind of waited to put him here at the end of A New Hope. The main reason why is because when we talk a little bit about his personality and his relationship with Vader and everyone, you know, and how he's kind of evolved into the character we know by A New Hope, you know, he's known for a sharp memory. Well, Tarkin actually met Sianna Rey, our main character, from Lost Stars on her home planet when she was very young. And he also makes an appearance again when Sianna Rey greets him at the Death Star when she's stationed there. And he remembers her from his encounter he had with her as a child, because he gave her a tour of a Lambda-class shuttle. Is that correct, Anya?
I think it is. Yeah. It's been a while since I've read Lost Stars, but that sounds right.
But it's really interesting seeing Tarkin literally sprinkled between TV shows, books, the movies, and all these different places to really get a full picture of Tarkin. And I think that one's interesting because it simply shows that he has this long memory and he doesn't forget anything. Which, when you're talking about comparing him to Hux, I would love to compare him to Hux, but I'd also love to compare both of them to Thrawn when we learn more about Thrawn in the new canon.
Yeah. Like,
do a synopsis between how all three of these characters, and maybe why we love these characters, because they're so similar, but also different enough to, you know, be their own unique character. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I would love to do, like, a breakdown of those three, compared and contrasted, based on, like, what we know. I'd love to know a little bit more about Hux as well.
You know what? I want to do a poll on our Facebook page. I'm gonna just throw it out there right now. I'm gonna do a poll on our Facebook page. Vote for your favorite baddie admiral, Hux, you know, Tarkin or Thrawn. We'll do a little poll there, and we'll talk about it maybe next week. Just
do you know what? I'll put my money on most people going with Thrawn.
You think so?
I think I think a lot of people will go with Thrawn.
See, I would go with Thrawn because of the EU, but my concern is, we don't know how Thrawn is going to be. You know? I really like Tarkin, but I'm worried about how he's going to be in, or Thrawn will be.
I mean, if we're doing a poll, the only thing people have to go off right now is the EU. We don't have Rebels yet for people to know what new Thrawn is going to be.
We've got a pretty good idea he's going to be kind of a badass, though, just based on the couple previews that are on here.
Yes, I can say that is probably an accurate statement to make, Dano.
You know, like, there's no argument he's going to be pretty awesome, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can say from what I've seen of him that if your baseline for Thrawn is the EU, then you're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah, because I haven't read any of the EU, but I still, like, in the poll of those three, I feel like Hux isn't going to get enough love, because we haven't seen enough of him yet. Tarkin, it's going to be a tough call between Tarkin and Thrawn, because Thrawn really looks like he's going to be an awesome character. And I don't know, they just, like, the way they've built him up, the editing in the video, everything looks like this season is going to be intense, and Thrawn is going to be at the helm of it, just making stuff go crazy. So, I don't know. Tough call. I don't know where I would put my vote.
Yeah.
I'm back.
I think I'd probably go Thrawn, honestly, if I was going to go with the three of them.
Really?
And that's based on what I know from the EU, but also what I've seen from Rebels so far. Because remember, I've seen two episodes already.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So
you're a cheater, Danya.
Yeah. I am a cheater. Cheater. All but right. Like I said, if your baseline for Thrawn is the EU, then stick with it because it's pretty accurate.
He's kind of a badass, isn't he?
Yeah. And for what? Without giving anything away, for what I've seen, like, you're not going to be disappointed. You were a fan of Thrawn in the EU.
I want to see, you know what I really want to see is, I want to see Thrawn and Tarkin interact. I want to see their interaction.
Uh-oh, she knows something.
Do you know something?
No spoilers, no spoilers.
I know nothing. I know absolutely nothing.
All right. Anything else about Tarkin, guys?
No, I think pretty good, actually.
We did pretty good. We talked about Clone Wars all the way down to the newest stuff. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. And again, if you want to get a free trial of Audible, go ahead and go to audibletrial.com/ResistanceRadio to download a free book, maybe the Tarkin book or any of the other books that we've talked about many times here on the show. Again, thank you all for listening. I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I'm Dano.
Bye-bye. And we'll see you next week.
May the Force be with you.
Always.